Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level, fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Three starts from the rotation. Nobody really gave him a lot of depth. I actually thought Jake Irvin, even though he had an inning he probably wants back, was very solid. I tweeted our little chat, you and Darris, like eyeball emojis after that first inning where he was pumping 98 and he struck out two and retired the side in order. I mean, Jake Irvin, people forget, like he came up in May last year and there was no real expectation externally that this guy was going to be a starter for the rest of the season and wouldn't come out of the rotation. Like that was not the thought. He's a former fourth-round pick in 2018 out of Oklahoma. Big-bodied, kind of innings-eating type guy. But what he did last year, pitching in 120 innings, posting every 5 days, making 24 starts, kind of changed the eye line a little bit of maybe how they view him. He got back to work in the lab this offseason. And this is the guy that you texted me, the velo. I think his average fastball velocity last year, we said, was like 94.5. And today, through a couple innings, I didn't see what it was at the end of the day, but it was 98, basically. It was like 97.7 or something. And I got to say, I mean, spring training, we saw him up to 98 a bunch as well. So if he added a couple of ticks with the rest of his repertoire, I am now fully intrigued by the Jake Irvin experience. We've seen him be nails in some spring starts. And more often than not today, I thought he was really, really good.
Yeah, so to your point, his fastball average on Sunday was 95.4 after you include some of the later innings. He was definitely sitting, you know, 96, 97 in those early innings, came down a little bit as he fatigued a little bit. I think his big thing is he's starting to work in a cutter. That's something that he talked about. He threw seven of them today, but he was primarily a two-pitch pitcher, and he had a sinker, but, you know, fastball, sinker, and curveball, you have to have something else, and he kind of saved the cutter until the second time through. I don't ever envision him being, you know, the Max Scherzer. He's staying out there to the seventh and eighth and going complete games. This is a guy that you hope you can get him through two times in the order. You know, maybe you can get him through, you know, five, six innings, hopefully maybe even into the seventh. But this isn't a guy that's going to go out there a long, long time. But when he's effective like he was today early, if he can find ways to just do that, get through, get some quick outs. And I thought he looked really good through the first couple innings. And then he had an inning where he didn't get a strike call on the first pitch of the at-bats for the leadoff guy, and it kind of seemed to rattle him, similar to what we've seen happen with Mackenzie Gore. So, you know, maybe he just needs to take a step there. But I thought he looked really good, aside from that one inning, and really it was just those two batters. After that, he kind of seemed to lock back in, even though he gave up some hits. But it was just something where he ended up throwing, like, five straight balls after he didn't get the call, and just one of those things where you just kind of have to move on. But especially if he can add in that cutter, this isn't a guy that's going to be your ace, but he can be a solid, you know, fourth or fifth starter for you.
Yeah, I think the cutter makes a big difference, or will, as he moves forward. Eventually, it's 95, 96 more than 97, 98, as you said. Maybe that was a little bit of, you know, having a Red Bull before opening day kind of thing, first start of the season. But I think that plays, you know, 95 and a half, 96 miles an hour, adding the cutter. He's got to do a little bit better job with command, to your point. And I just think succinctly to what you were saying, to kind of sum it up, you got to learn to make that quick adjustment to reduce, you know, eliminate some of the situations he found himself in midway through his outing where you walk the bottom of the order, you're frustrated, you're annoyed. Now you look up and you've given up a crooked number. But overall, I think you'll take it. He was the first Nats starter to get through five innings of work, right? Josiah Gray got knocked around. You and Darris already talked about that on the most recent pod. Seven runs in four innings for him. He'll have to get back on the horse next time out. Corbin in game two was probably better than his line, frankly, but he got hit around at the end and ran out of gas. 4 1/3 for him. Didn't finish the fifth. 7 hits, 4 runs. So from a starting pitching standpoint, a little bit of an ugly beginning to the season. The bullpen has done a decent job, though. Dylan Floro, a couple scoreless appearances. Robert Garcia pitched two times, scoreless, three strikeouts in his two innings. Harvey was kind of good once, bad once. Thingin obviously gave the game up, as we talked about. That was brutal. Derek Law has been pretty fine. Good to see Barnes throw a good inning. Tanner Rainey's velocity was way down in his inning. I'm very worried about that. And Jordan Weems was lights out with two strikeouts in his one inning of work. So that's kind of the quick lay of the land on the pen.
Yeah, I mean, we'll focus on the back end guys. So Harvey and his outing that he gave up the run, to me, that was just a – I didn't like the sequencing. I thought he was blowing – I forget who it was, but he was blowing him away with the fastball, and then he went with a splitter, and then he went back to the splitter and left it in a spot where he could do some damage with it, and that ends up giving up a run there. So I, you know, I think that's just more of a – game calling thing. That's not an issue with a little bit of execution, but I didn't necessarily have an issue with what he did that inning. I just thought maybe don't double down on the splitter there, maybe use that fastball more. And you know, that's something that's fixable as you go on, and you saw it fixed on Sunday. And then for Finnegan on Sunday, it was just an execution thing. Like, he was pitching really well. He was, you know, two outs, ready to roll, nobody on, and Jonathan India worked a heck of an at bat, and I think he deserves a lot of credit for that. And sometimes, you know, the guy just beat you. I mean, he just couldn't get a pitch past him. He was fouling off good pitches. And so you kind of live with that. And then it goes on and he leaves a splitter up and another splitter up. And it ends up back-to-back home runs that cost you the game. So it's one of those things where if you're Finnegan, you got to move past it because it's just an execution thing. He just has to execute those pitches and he didn't. You got to have those below the zone or at the bottom of the zone and he didn't. I don't think there's much to be worried about with either of those guys, though.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Yeah, no, totally agree. We talked about the bullpen coming into the season. I think it's fine. I know you even think it's better than fine. You think it's really good. And I think those two guys are kind of the least of my concerns in terms of a back-end tandem. 17 pitches for Harvey on Sunday, so he bounced right back and gave up just one hit in a scoreless inning with a strikeout. But for the Nationals, it's just a bummer of a loss to end that series. Because you had the two-run lead, you had a chance to go 2-1, and it really would have felt like a big deal to get back-to-back victories, get up off the schneid, so to speak, coming home to face the Pirates for the home opener, which, by the way, Pittsburgh, what a story. They are 4-0. They got off to a great start. I think it was last year as well. But they are red hot. This will be a real test for Mackenzie Gore and this pitching staff to try to pour some cold water on them. Again, this is just four games for Pittsburgh, but you know, batting averages in that lineup of Connor Joe's hitting .315, Brian Reynolds .315, Ke'Bryan Hayes .444, Olivares is hitting .333, Taylor's hitting .385, up and down the order. They are mashing. O'Neill Cruz has already hit a couple of home runs. He's hitting almost .360. So it's going to be a stiff test, I think, for the Nationals as they take on Pittsburgh. And let's see, will they face Jared Jones? They may miss him, actually. They might luck out. Did you see how good he was, the rookie righty, yesterday?
He was nails, yeah.
Oh, my God. You want to talk about nasty. For people who don't know about this kid, Jared Jones. So he was a second-round pick by the Pirates a few years back and made the rotation out of camp kind of by surprise, but he was just so good. He pitched scoreless baseball in 16 innings with 15 strikeouts. And so they said, well, we got to keep him up in the show. And he was really good last year in Double-A, had a 2.2 ERA, Triple-A, a little more average, had a 4.7. But this is 10.5 strikeout per nine guy in the minors last year. 146 Ks, 126 innings. And a lot of people feel like him and Skeens, who they took 1-1, who had a perfect three innings with five strikeouts in his AAA debut this week, that those two guys are going to be the best 1-2 punch maybe in baseball a couple years down the road. But Jones threw on Saturday, so I'm trying to time up the days to see if he would throw again. But on Saturday night, 5 2/3, 3 hits, 10 strikeouts in getting his first win. He threw 89 pitches. How about this? He had 17 swings on his slider and got 10 whiffs. 26 swings on his fastball, got 11 whiffs. He had 21 swings and misses in the game on those two pitches alone.
I mean, wow. Just
unreal.
Yeah, it looks like they're going to miss him. So it looks like Monday, the home opener is slated to be Mackenzie Gore against Marco Gonzalez, the first lefty starter that the Nationals will face. Wednesday, it looks like Trevor Williams against Mitch Keller. Then JoJo's back on the mound on Thursday against Martin Perez. So two lefties. I think the one thing I'm interested to see there against a lefty starter, you've seen Eddie Rosario start in center field and Jesse Winker in left field. Victor Robles, I would expect to be inserted into the lineup to have another right-handed bat in there against a lefty. I would assume they just move Rosario to left, but Winker had a good first series as well, so it'll be interesting to see which one of those they move over there. Maybe they, you know, play Joey Meneses at first base and have the other DH instead of having Joey Gallo in the lineup, so that'll be something to watch for, you know, against these lefties. But I did want to point this out, Grant, before we get out of here. K-Bert Ruiz, I thought, in the first series, it's early, but I thought I saw little bits of improvement behind the plate, which is something that we're looking for. I thought he was framing pitches better, especially on Sunday for Jake Irvin. He wasn't getting some of the calls because, frankly, the balls and strikes were not very consistent. But I thought that he was framing pitches really well, and I thought they did a good job on the broadcast kind of pointing that out. And he threw out a runner, and it wasn't just any runner. It was Ellie De La Cruz. And so I think that he's been close on some of those. And, you know, if it's close, we can live with that because that's something where maybe it's the pitcher taking a little bit longer. You know, there's so many different factors. Like, the success rate last year was ridiculous for stolen bases. But last year, so many times for K-Bert Ruiz, it wasn't even close. He's thrown out a runner in the first series. He's been a lot closer. So it's not anything, again, it's one series, so we're not going to overreact. We're not going to say K-Bert Ruiz is fixed behind the plate, but I have seen little bits of improvement. I'm interested to see if it continues on.
Yeah, it's way too early to start diving into like some of the percentiles, right? We need a little more sample size, but you're right. I mean, I will say the plays at second have been way closer is how I would describe it. And even as you said, like the LA De La Cruz thing, I'm thinking, well, De La Cruz beat it. He was safe, but he slid off the bag and they kind of kept their hand on the bag and that's how they got him. Having said that, it was super bang bang. And De La Cruz is one of the fastest players in the big leagues. Like, the dude's electric. So that's an upgrade. You know what I mean? Like, I think you're on to something. Like, let's continue to monitor this, but I think that is a super worthy observation.
I mean, last year we could have stolen off of K-Bert Ruiz, GP. Like, we're
well, I am very fat and very slow, but I'm not going to tell you that I disagree with you. If you want me to do that, you've come to the wrong place.